Good morning, I'm Femi Okeh with you this morning with Todd Zwillick. So Vice President Joe Biden announced yesterday that the federal government is releasing $2.3 billion in Recovery Act funding for childcare and vaccines. The announcement is the latest in a flurry of national and local announcements on how stimulus spending will be spent. But many communities are wondering whether stimulus funding will actually bring jobs to their neighbourhoods. Joining us to talk about this is the Takeaways correspondent Andrea Bernstein, who is watching stimulus spending in our Shovel Watch project. Good morning, Andrea.
Good morning.
And we also have Mark Steiner. He's a producer and host at WEAA in Baltimore. And Mark Steiner is also the host of The Mark Steiner Show. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. Pleasure to be with you all.
We'll get to you in just a moment. But Andrew, just set us out nationally. What stimulus spending has been distributed so far?
Well, actually, quite a bit. And most of the money that's come out so far and into people's pockets has come out in the form of individual benefits. So most American workers now are seeing a tax cut, and they're actually seeing a little bit of increased money in their paycheck. Food stamp grants have been increased. People who have lost their jobs and are using COBRA insurance are being able to apply for an extension, and also unemployment benefits are being extended. The other sort of big thing that's happened is money has gone to the states for these so-called fiscal stabilization funds. And what that means is that the states, many states who are facing these drastic budget crunches, have been able to cut their budgets less than they wanted to. So the idea is they have to lay off fewer workers, they can continue to put money in the economy in various ways. And then the other big pocket of money is that the transportation and infrastructure funds are beginning to arrive in the states and to be allocated for specific projects.
So when a specific project's beginning to start, do we have a date? Is there a timeline?
Well, this is the thing about the stimulus funding is all, even though it is President Obama's program, the priorities are each being set in each of the 50 states. So there is a different story everywhere. And some of the states made up their minds very, very quickly. Maryland is one of them. New Jersey is another. Massachusetts. These are all states where they have a sort of streamlined planning process. They said right away, we know where we want our money to go, and they've begun to bid out the projects. Other states, particularly some big ones like New York, California, they're still deciding. They're very much in the process. They're gathering information and are much, much slower. But in Maryland, for example, right now, Highway 650 is getting resurfaced. In North Carolina, US 158 is getting widened. So some of these projects are actually beginning to be built around the country.
Let me bring in Mark Steiner, who's in Baltimore, WEAA. Andrea, you said yesterday that Baltimore was a classic example of a good model for stimulus spending.
Well, one of the things that's very interesting about Maryland is that Maryland is not only extremely organized, there's a lot of transparency in the states, but a lot of people around the country who are beginning the conversation sort of, okay, now the stimulus money is coming, so who is actually going to get these jobs, say that Baltimore is an example where there's a high level of community involvement in the planning and in this discussion about making sure the jobs go all through the community and not just to a specific sector. And that's a big concern that a lot of people are articulating across the country that we're hearing now is people are saying, I know that road building is coming, but I'm not an asphalt layer. I'm not trained in this. So how is it going to benefit me?
Mark, Andrew was just talking about community, and you've been holding community town halls. What was the sort of response you were getting back from people talking about the stimulus?
Well, I think people are really digging under this kind of surface conversation that some people in the media, not you all, but some people are having about the stimulus package. And as this, you know, we can talk about money coming in, and the people in the town meeting were talking about, look, let's build a different model in Baltimore where local people are really trained to do lead and weatherization, get their certification so they can change how they do contracts in Baltimore so that people can actually get contracts from the city and create a system that is long-term sustainable for people and not just going to huge companies from outside of Baltimore and outside the state where local people are hired for the dirtiest work and then don't keep working. So there's a real conversation going on here in Baltimore about how do you use this money to really stimulate a local economy as opposed to just giving people temporary jobs that are over in a year. I mean, I think that's the critical difference in the conversations taking place here.
I want to bring in a part of the conversation you had at the town hall, but first of all, I need you to set the scene for us, Mark. Tell us how much money Baltimore has roughly got to spend out of the stimulus package.
It has exactly at the moment a very strange number, $368,818,114.
And you don't have it down to the penny?
Okay, so now we know the sum Baltimore's got to play with. I want you to listen to Jamie Kendrick. He's the co-chair of the Baltimore Economic Recovery Team, and he details how that money is going to be spent.
In that $250 million in formula is about $4 million for Head Start, $3.6 for Youth Works, summer jobs type programs, $54 million over 2 years for Title I education, $26.5 million for special education, about $5.5 million for job training programs through the Office of Employment Development, $33.5 million or so for roads and bridges in the city, directly spent by the city, another plus or minus
okay.
35
you can
for
stop
transit
now. Help.
That'll be spent by the
Let
MTA.
Me out. Mark, in the town hall, you waited. You waited for Jamie to finish, and you had to actually pull him up short in the end. So this,
I did.
This money is pretty much parceled out. What do people in Baltimore, where do they want that money to actually go? How do they want it to be spent?
Well, other than how I described before in terms of changing how people are actually trained so they can have long-term work, one of the problems is that when they did this bill, because they were trying to keep money out of the hands of the wealthy, that you can't do things like swimming pools and rec centers, which are critical to urban centers like Baltimore and the deindustrialized cities. Because that means that, let's say, that people can't, you can't hire a lifeguard to work a swimming pool for young people.
Now explain,
or you can't refurbish a pool.
Explain this. There's a little bit more background to this. Why can't you refurbish your local swimming pool?
Because there's no money in there for recreation and parks, because they said no money for golf courses, swimming pools, anything like that, without thinking about what the needs are for a city. So the city's going to have to think about how to use that money in a more creative way. In other words, using weatherization money and energy money to redo a pool or to fix the roofs on recreation centers that put people to work, and then maybe have money left over so we can hire lifeguards to keep inner city kids in the summer with a place to swim. I mean, so there's these kind of strange contradictions in this. And the city here, with the help of the community, is trying to kind of think more creatively about how to get around those restrictions.
Well, hey, Mark, it's Todd Zwillick. Is Baltimore the only city you know of that's bringing in the community in this way to actually do interaction between the senior elder fathers and mothers of the city and the community to figure out where they're going to create jobs?
No, I think it's going on in other cities. And I think what's happening, at least what happened in Baltimore, is that you had kind of a blue-collar mayor that hired some interesting people in her administration that allowed that conversation to take place. But you also had a kind of a grassroots swell, people demanding, like they did this town meeting that I ran and the others were going to have these kind of conversations that very rarely take place.
And
the proof will be in the pudding.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, there is a national effort. There's a group called Policy Link, which is based in the East Bay in California, which is trying to sort of ask these questions and get communities involved. I mean, I think, you know, one of the things that different areas are doing are trying to sort of figure out ways to get some of the things that you're talking about. So, for example, in the surface transportation bill, which both the president and the vice president have sort of miscalled the highway bill, there's money for bike paths. There's money for pedestrian things. Or you have a city like New York City, which is taking some money from the stimulus package, putting it into something it was already going to build, and then using that money, for example, to plant trees in Bedford-Stuyvesant to improve the business district. So there is some creativity happening in these cities now.
Mark, let me share with our listeners a young lady called Magda Phillips. She goes to a high school in Baltimore. Listen to her plea.
We are waiting for money so that we can help build new organizations so that we can help the young people. And there's a lot of programs now, but there are some who can't pay their young people because there's just no money. And we've done so much to try to convince the city government. There's been hunger strikes with me and my other friends who we starved for 4.5 days, and the mayor still didn't give us any money. And we've slept out on City Hall, and we still didn't get any money.
Mark, how do people get money out of their stimulus package?
Well, this particular group, too, you talked about was Peer-to-Peer, which is this coalition of young people from public schools all across the city that are activists, and they have organized themselves with some other adult organizations to ask for $3 million to be given to Peer-to-Peer to work youth programs with other youth, mentoring tutoring.
Mark, I just have to ask you for just a quick one-liner, yeah, because we're wrapping up, and I want people to know, how do they get the stimulus money? How do they get to use it?
They're going to have to fight for it. They're going to have to negotiate with the city to bring the money into those community groups, and that process is just beginning.
Mark Steiner, he's a host and producer at WEAA in Baltimore. Thank you very much. And, of course, thank you to our political director, Andrea Bernstein.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.